us, feed us. Thank you for every soul that's here tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless your words. I know you have, and I pray you'd bless each soul for being here and take these words, apply them where they need to be applied. Lord, that you would teach us some things about peace tonight, and particularly peace that comes from you, that you've extended. Lord, please make it applicable, not just to fill our heads with knowledge, but give us understanding. Father, thank you for allowing Barry to come. Lord, it's a blessing. I pray he's feeling better. I pray he continues to feel better and gets through this stuff quickly, and all these treatments and things. Lord, they take out the cancer, just get rid of that stuff out of his body, and he can return to life without all that stuff. Lord, I pray that you do that. And again, thank you for everybody that's here tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all got it working? Is it okay now? Back there? All right. All right. Peace from God. That's the subject this evening, that God extends and would extend his peace in the form of Jesus Christ. And in this greeting, it is not man extending his hand toward God, but God extending his peace toward man. And so, peace is one of those words like love and things like that that folks like to use. And they use it for various things, but this context is peace with God. When Jesus Christ was born, one of the things that was said, Luke records it, those angels, they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it's God extending a peace offering with man, in order to break down the wall of enmity and the partition of enmity that was between man and God. And hopefully this will be a real practical thing, because the reality of it is that the thing that stood, and we've talked about it so many times lately, but the thing that stood and stands between man and God is this carnal body. The Bible says, he says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He says over there in Corinthians, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a real problem with the body, the flesh and the blood of mankind. So look over in Ephesians. I'm going to show you some things about peace here that I hope help you and help clearly define this thing. Peace with God the Father is in Jesus Christ, but why is it in Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. If you understand that your flesh and blood and this nature, this carnal nature and the works of the flesh, just this carnal body here, stands between you and God, some of this stuff will really fall into place, I think. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. So he is the blood that God accepts. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between God and man. This is how he did it. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So, here is the flesh and blood of man, and God says, he says, man's thoughts are just evil continually, all that stuff in Genesis 6. David says, I was conceived in sin and iniquity, or iniquity that my mother conceived me. It's just this nature, this body, ever since sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's lust of the flesh, the things they saw in the, through Eve in the garden. Ever since then, they produce children who are after that nature. They're a carnal nature. And that carnal nature is opposed to God in every way. And so God would look down on mankind and he wouldn't be able to find any man born of woman, any man that would fulfill his righteousness. Every man, like Paul would say in Romans 3, he said, it's concluded that all are sinners. And so what God would need, what his extension of peace is, he said he's going to provide a peace offering, which is a man that will be acceptable in his sight. Flesh and blood that will be acceptable in his sight. And he waits all the way up until, you know, Jesus Christ is that man. But even in the Old Testament, people have to wait until Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to even get to the Father. No one is acceptable. He said to Moses, Moses asked to see his glory, things like that. The Lord says, if I show you, no man can see my face and live. Meaning, if you were to look at me, you would die instantly. And then he says over there, he says, without holiness, it's impossible to see God. So God would look around, man, there's no man that's acceptable to him until Jesus Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, he describes the wall of partition, the flesh that comes between man and God, and then the flesh and blood that is acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Let me show it to you another time. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20. Colossians 1:20. Oh, let's see here. The Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that's just the works of the flesh, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. So here is unacceptable flesh and blood, just all of us, and then here is acceptable flesh and blood in Jesus Christ. And God accepts that flesh and blood, and as we'll see over here in Matthew, that is the breaking down of the partition that stands between man and God, this flesh and blood, this body. And he breaks that thing down in Jesus Christ, and God Almighty makes a peace offering with man in Jesus Christ and says, if you will take this man that I accept, because I accept his body, his blood, I will account to you my righteousness based on him. Let me show it to you again here. This is Matthew chapter 27, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice what happens here. Remember in Ephesians, he called it that wall of partition, the enmity, the thing that stood between God and man, and the thing that stands between you and the Lord on a daily basis. Paul says, I die daily. Why? Because this stuff is always in my way. But watch this. Matthew 27, 51. Verse 50 is the death of Jesus Christ. Verse 51, you jump ahead to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus, verse 50, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. There's his death. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Isn't that wild? So when Jesus Christ resurrects, not only does he come out of the grave, but a bunch of other people come out of the grave. But and here's the thing. He mentions it in verse 50, the death of Jesus Christ. And if you can just imagine it, how it worked out. Jesus Christ dies. He's laid in a tomb for 3 days. After 3 days, stones rolled away. He has been thoroughly inspected by the Holy Spirit of God, and he has been justified in the Spirit. Now he's about to be glorified and preached and all that stuff. So after three days, those priests in the temple are all doing their thing in the temple. And now God, after 3 days, looks down. He sees Jesus Christ is acceptable to him. And he raises Jesus Christ from the dead. And in that temple, when he's resurrected from the dead, it is a testimony that God now accepts his flesh. And so in that temple, as those priests are doing their thing, when Jesus Christ comes up, that veil goes and just rips from top to bottom. Meaning there is no more wall now. There's no more partition. There's no more enmity, and God has extended his peace offering to man. Say, this is my peace offering. This is the man I accept. And if you will have him, then I will have you. And so on that third day, he comes up. The veil of the temple is rent from top to bottom, showing physically what God is accepting now. That veil is a picture, he says it in Hebrews, that veil is the body of Jesus Christ. It's an illustration, but it's the body of Jesus Christ. And so God accepts that body, and he rips that veil in two, and now there is no more enmity between God and man. In Jesus Christ, there's no more enmity. And so he rips that thing, and so third day, and when God finally accepts, when he accepts and proves to the world and shows the world, this is my accepted man, then not only does he show the world that, show the Jews that, but also at the same time, these Old Testament saints who weren't acceptable yet are able to go up with Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ resurrects, all of a sudden, these other Old Testament saints start coming out of the ground too, because now they're acceptable. And they weren't acceptable before. God was waiting and waiting. What does he say? The times of this ignorance he winked at, but now commandeth men everywhere to repent. So he waited and waited until he found the acceptable man, or made the acceptable man, as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he takes with him all of those Old Testament saints that he had set aside and waiting for the redemption, waiting for the acceptance of God there. And so when Jesus Christ is accepted and it's proven and it's shown that he's accepted, several things go on. The veil of the temple is ripped, showing the enmity is now taken away. The resurrection of some saints go up. And they walk around and they minister in Jerusalem for a few. I mean, that's just wild. They just get up and they start walking around, and I don't know what they look like. You talk about the walking dead. I don't know what it looks like, you know. But they come up. Why do they come up? Well, now God has acceptable flesh and blood that he can put on their account, and now he can raise them up. So it is peace with God the Father in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. One of the interesting things, you don't have to look at it, but the Bible says in Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that's a great verse to kind of, I don't want to say test new versions or anything, because there's no point in looking into new versions. They're all kind of just the same thing. But most of these new versions take out "in his blood." And the reason they take it out, I would say probably the reason they take it out in their minds is they don't understand the purpose of the blood. Yeah, through his blood. There you go. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So in the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a basis for accepting sinners now. So peace with God the Father is in Jesus Christ. Paul would say, I'll just mention it again. He says, "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You know what the interesting thing about Jesus Christ's body was? One of the many interesting things. He says, "Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption." That body sat in that grave and it never rotted. It never decayed in any way. It never had any stink on it. I mean, there was no corruption in that body. So the same body that went down into the grave is the same body that comes up. And God says that is on that basis, I accept this man. And if you will have this man, this is my peace offering with you. But if you won't have him, this resurrection shows you he's coming back one day. And if you're not going to have him, he will have his way with this world. Peace from God in Jesus Christ. So peace then, second point here, peace is now the message from heaven after Jesus Christ. You go from Old Testament, now you're in New Testament. This is now the message from heaven. Now here's a couple thoughts on that. The Jews in Jesus' day were able to physically see the veil in the temple torn from top to bottom. They were physically able to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. But that was one generation. You know what? You and I have never been able to see any physical evidence of any of that. Meaning, you have never been able to see any physical evidence of peace with God. So you know how you're going to get the evidence? Based on the testimony of God. And so that becomes the message now. Peace with God is now the message that goes out. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give you a couple verses on this. So God extends his offering of peace in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ breaks down the wall of enmity in his flesh. Ephesians 2 and verse 17, the Bible says this. Verse 16, for the context, it says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." So peace now becomes the message. God the Father is offering peace, and I don't know how long that offer stands, because whenever he decides the offer's up and he decides to send Jesus Christ back, that's when it's up. But immediately after this death, burial, and resurrection, and the peace of God is now offered to mankind, that becomes the message. Let me show it to you again in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Ephesians 6, 15. It says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That's the message now. That God, you and I have never seen that. We didn't see the temple come, the veil go down. We didn't see Jesus Christ resurrect. We do know there's an empty tomb over there. Or Joseph of Arimathea's tomb is actually one. I mean, anyway, we do know Jesus Christ isn't buried anywhere, so you know he's gone, but we don't see a physical evidence of peace. So we take the testimony and the news that's been passed down, like Paul said, from faith to faith, just gets passed down over the centuries. It's the message of peace. And not like peace that the world brings. Jesus Christ said, my peace I give you. Not like the world gives you, but my peace I give unto you. And it's in John, I think, 14. He explains all that. But the message becomes peace. And so Paul, part of the armor, Paul says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the good news of peace with God. Look at it one more time. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. About this message from heaven and the way of peace. How it travels. Luke chapter 1, verse 79, describing Jesus Christ, says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Interesting, he keeps talking about the feet, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Paul would say, quoting, I think it's Isaiah, he said, how beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings of peace. That becomes the message now. That's not the image, that's not the picture, that's the message that is proclaimed throughout the centuries now. Passed on time and time and generation after generation. The message of peace. Look over in Romans. I'll show it to you again here. A couple of these. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans 10, 15. The Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So, if you don't have a message, if there's no mail going to your house, then there's no message going there, there's nothing sent to you. However, if something's sent to you, this is the idea. How shall they preach except they be sent? Well, you've been given a message now. Now you've been handed the letter and says, all right, take this and proclaim this to the world. This is the gospel of peace. This is my offering of peace, my sacrifice, my offering of peace to mankind. Take that, and this is the message you take to the world now. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Peace with God. Remember all of that in Luke, where he said when Jesus Christ was born, what did those angels say? They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And I don't know how long that goodwill lasts. But right now, that's what it is. Goodwill toward men. Here's another one. This is the third point here. The last point, but there's a few verses with it. If you noticed in Colossians, it said, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that the Holy Spirit is kind of left out of that thing? I don't know if you noticed, but he's not mentioned there. I'll show you why. You just say, what about the Holy Spirit? So that peace originates with God the Father, and then it's made possible by Jesus Christ. then that body of Jesus Christ, after the death, burial, and resurrection, and God has accepted this flesh and blood in Jesus Christ, and he resurrects Jesus Christ, now Jesus Christ goes back up to the Father and all that, and I don't know how to explain all that. I say the Father resurrected him. I mean, he is life. He is that. I don't know how to explain all that. But after all that now, the body that God accepts is now seated in heavenly places. You know, we do the Lord's Supper, and the thing that's remembered is the body of Jesus Christ. He says, this do in remembrance of me. And he says, until his coming, meaning until that body returns. In the meantime, since the body is now of Jesus Christ, is now seated at the right hand of God, he goes up and he says, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, because I'm not going to walk around on earth anymore. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit and multiply the news to everyone. That way, the Holy Spirit can be in you and you and you and you and you and go all over the world. And so Jesus Christ goes up and he says, it tells those disciples, he says, when I go up, he says, if I don't go up, I won't be able to send the Comforter. But when I go up, I'm going to send the Comforter down. So that Holy Spirit's sent down now, and it's the Holy Spirit's job now to proclaim peace with God through Jesus Christ. How does he do that? Well, he uses people. And he uses people to write scriptures. Paul, John. Even in the Old Testament, if you go back, you will find that the Holy Spirit was preparing people for this time. And then in Jesus Christ now, he's going to multiply that news out. The Bible says, I'll just read this one to you. It's Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God now. That is a spiritual kingdom now at work in this earth. That's not the physical kingdom now at work, because Jesus Christ isn't physically here right now. But spiritually, his spirit has now gone out. What does he say in Colossians? He says, and Christ in you. How? In the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he sends out the Holy Spirit. Look over in John chapter 20. Let me show you how this progression kind of works out. I hope this makes some sense to you. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Remember, the gospel of peace, this is God's peace offering to man. And the accepted body and blood is Jesus Christ. And in that body and in that blood, God separates, or he removes the wall of partition in Jesus Christ, in that body. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what? Peace be unto you. You know what's happened? He's made peace with God now on behalf of mankind. And so he enters into that room where those disciples are, and they're just, we don't know what to do. Jesus is dead, or the one we've been following for 3 years now is dead, and what do we do? And they're sitting in that room. I think they've heard it at this point that he's resurrected. They don't know. I don't know exactly the timeline on all that, but they're sitting there hiding from the Jews, and Jesus Christ enters the room, and the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. And it's not just like a greeting. It's not just like, hey, how's it going, fellas? It's like, the work is now complete. Peace be unto you. And then watch what he does. And when he had so said, verse 20, he showed unto them his hands and his side. You know why? Because that's where the peace is. He has made an acceptable sacrifice. And when he had so said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. But he isn't going with them bodily now. He's going to send them with the Spirit now. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they're retained. You know what? Now you have the message of peace with God. And if anyone will receive that message, talking about the apostles, telling these apostles, whoever you go to and preach, if they'll receive it, they have forgiveness with God, they have peace with God. But if they're not interested in it, they have no peace with God, their sins are yet on them. And how's he going to do it? The Holy Spirit of God. Let's see, there's I tell you what, show you this one. The Holy Spirit is going to speak through these men, and he's going to speak through men throughout all the ages about this peace with God now. Look over in 2 Peter. I'll give you two more places here. 2 Peter and Colossians, and then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Second Peter 1:21. 20 for the context. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So it's not about let's read a verse and let's all figure out what we think about it. The prophecies have a meaning, and they're about a person. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God speaking about what will be the peace offering of God to mankind. And the Bible says that Holy Ghost was at work before in a certain way on a few people, but now after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is going to pour out his Holy Spirit and multiply the work many times over now. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what I'm getting at is the Holy Spirit is going to and is and has, he uses people. That's how he does this. He wrote scriptures through men that are recorded that we're reading. He uses preaching. And that this is how the news of the peace with God is now multiplied throughout the earth. Colossians chapter 2, last place. And I mean the last place. Colossians chapter 2. Try to end it back over here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. So that peace with God came in the form of the acceptable body and blood of Jesus Christ. God shows his acceptance of it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the veil of the temple being rent from top to bottom. And then the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to now multiply the news throughout the world. But notice these things here, going along these lines. It says in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know how he cuts away the body That part of you that is at enmity with God, how that part gets cut away from that soul. For the Word of God, remember, the Holy Ghost of God spake through men. No prophecy of his, not any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write these things down. Now you have the Word of God. And the Word of God, he says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that Word of God goes out to people. And people who will listen, who will accept God's offering of peace, they will understand and they will make a difference between this body, this flesh. And God will make a difference through the words of God. He says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Why are you putting it off? Because that's the thing that comes between you and God. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, spiritually speak. All this thing, this is spiritually speaking. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Meaning that the flesh wasn't cut away yet. But that this word of God is so sharp, it will make a division between the thoughts and intents of your heart and the direction of God, and it will be a discerner of those things. You won't be able to see it. You'll be able to hear it. You'll be able to read it in the Word of God. And the Lord, that thing is so sharp, it will cut and make a distinction between what is the flesh and what is the Spirit of God at work. Remember, you're probably, on a practical scale, you're looking for direction on a regular basis. You're trying to figure out, well, are these my thoughts? Is this just my idea to do this? Or is this God's direction? Do I just want this for myself, or is this something God wants for me? You know what that Word of God does? It cuts away and it makes a distinction between what's the dead body and flesh versus what is the Holy Spirit of God's work there. Notice this, verse 13, he says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Wow. So, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, he is acceptable to God. He's an acceptable sacrifice. He's the acceptable sacrifice. What looks like to the world, because the world only lives by the flesh, what looks like a defeat to the world, someone dying on a cross, is actually a great victory to God, because he's putting away the flesh. And now he has an acceptable sacrifice and a basis for which mankind can now come before the throne of grace boldly. What did he do? He in his body and in his blood, he tears down that wall of partition. He makes peace with God. And so you come now to the throne of grace. You come now to God Almighty's throne on the basis of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews says we can now come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Why? Because Jesus Christ was acceptable and he paved that way. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he makes the way. And there is no other way. He's not a better way. He's not an easier way. He's the way. He's the only way. And he makes peace with God where peace was not there. Old Testament, people are waiting in a place, you could say Abraham's bosom, but they're waiting in a place until God has an acceptable sacrifice to make peace with mankind. And once he has that in Jesus Christ, those graves come open and those people come out. Now they are accepted in God, and Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father from creation to the end of time. There is no other way. And he makes peace with God. And so God says, here is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. I don't know how long that offer stands. God the Father knows how long it'll stand. But it stands right now, and that body that God made peace in Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And now he sent out his Holy Spirit to multiply that news. And he says, now go and preach peace and tell man, I am giving them an opportunity to make peace with me on the basis of Jesus Christ. For the times of this ignorance, he said, God winked at, but now God commandeth men everywhere to repent. What, this flesh, this body, this is the thing that stands between us and the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, absent from the body, present in hell. Thank God for peace with God in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for peace with you in Jesus Christ. I pray it's been helpful, been practical. We can see the workings of all this, how you do it, why you did it the way you did it, and why you weren't going to do it any other way. Father, thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Peace with you. Opportunity to come before your throne boldly and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.